Welcome, councillors, council staff, members of the gallery. I declare the meeting opened at 2 minutes past 6 p.m. Meeting, Build Council Ordinary Meeting, 22nd of August 2023. Can I ask you please to be upstanding for the council prayer? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing, vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Please be seated. I would also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet and pay my respects to their elders, both past and present, and any First Nations people who may be present here this evening. I ask councillors, I'll just remind you of your ethical obligations and your oath and affirmation of office under Section 223A of the Local Government Act of 1993. I note the recording of the meeting is there for minute purposes and is also available promptly for public review on Council's website. I note there are no apologies, leave of absence. Declarations of interest by councillors. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just item RC 15/23, minutes of Build 150-year anniversary steering committee. I'd just like to declare a less than significant non-pecuniary interest as I chaired the meeting as acting chair and delegate, and I won't be the mover or seconder on this item. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other declarations? I note there are no declarations, further declarations of interest by councillors. Declarations of political donations. Note there's no other declarations of political donations. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting, moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Cutcher. Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Now, councillors, I might leave the mayoral minute until the end, just to give you a chance, because sorry that was late. And we had, just in case some of you still haven't had the opportunity to read and go through it, or have you had the chance and want to deal with it now? Deal with it now? Okay. So the next item is mayoral minutes, which is proposed changes to parking arrangements at Elizabeth Street car park. I put the minute, and it is a report is tabled at the Build Local Traffic Committee meeting scheduled for 7th of September, review under trial operational hours within, with a view to revert back to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Wednesday and no restrictions on the Sundays, whilst retaining the new 9 to 10 p.m. from Thursday to Saturday restrictions. Council sub-delegate the authorisation to prescribe traffic control device covered under Division 1, which allows the general manager to then enforce those if it's approved tonight and at the traffic committee. Is there any questions? Put the minute. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Next item is general business, which is 53/23, the half yearly report, being moved by Councillor Esper. Did you raise your hand? Seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers? Speakers against, put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 54/23, moved by Councillor Cryant, seconded by Councillor Manor. Do I have any questions? Reader. I'll put it through the general manager. How did we come about? I've got a question while Heather's thinking of hers. Now, my question is just in relation to the setbacks. I know we raised this, and I think this was raised by Councillor Crichton previously or through a notice of motion or a minute, I can't remember. But in saying that, I just want to ask, how did you come about with the changes on that diagram for the Westpac building and or the Railway Parade building, which is the pub? And two, is there some level of still flexibility within that too? Because they don't look like really good public squares the way they're drawn on that map. So obviously through building design and principle, it might mean you might have a for example, with the pub, I'm not sure, you might have a shorter distance, so it's not going all the way down Burwood Road, and then you might have a certain section, an increased section on Railway Parade, for example. Is there still some level of flexibility in the DCP to be able to do that?
You explain the statutory or the legal stuff, and then I'll maybe go back to the background if we can.
Sorry, General Manager.
If you explain the existing setbacks and how we came to this, and then maybe I'll go back to the conversations of a couple of years ago.
Yes.
So through you, Mr. Mayor. So currently the setbacks along those frontages are zero setbacks. So in terms of creating that widened footpath or widened area to be able to create, say, a plaza or an open area upon redevelopment of those sites, I think discussions were had some time ago with the councillors as to what a minimum setback might be. So there really hasn't been any interrogation. It's essentially extrapolating that information that was presented to a previous briefing to the councillors, which was 8 metres. And we've just reflected that on the opposite side of the street to then create that additional openness for those buildings. So those buildings would be set back from what is currently a zero setback to 8 metres to then facilitate that outcome. In terms of should we get a resolution to proceed with the exhibition, we will then also look at additional controls that we could put in the DCP objectives and controls just to firm up what that outcome should look like.
Maybe just add a bit of background. The conversation, I think, originated at the time when the Westpac building was put on the market and council was considering whether to purchase it or not. It was then considered financially not viable for us to do that. The idea initially was to create place where there isn't place at the moment, by way of basically facilitating smaller spaces for lingering meeting that we currently don't have in that particular precinct. So when you come out of the train station right now, the experience is not the best. It's fairly tight. You then push to the right or left. The idea was to create and balance the what we call now Railway Square with a couple of little pocket squares around that corner of Burwood, intersection of Burwood and Railway. At the time, the main principal guide in the conversation was, in order not to negatively restrict the Westpac site to a point where it would not be feasible to redevelop, the main aim was, why don't we just go to a depth that will allow the opening up of the views of the post office tower, the heritage building, and it was calculated that 6 to 8 meters would be enough to allow us to open the beautiful views over that building, and we would still manage to create that sort of landing space. The idea would then be, was then to, could we do the same on the other side? If and when the pub site gets redeveloped, could we ask them to sit back? If you walk there now in the morning and in the afternoon, you'll find that we've got a lot of pedestrians and commuters crammed onto that intersection, onto the fence, waiting to cross. And the idea is over time to improve that experience.
Thank you to the General Manager. That's my question. I'll just comment and speak. Any other questions? Councillor Cron.
Just one through you, Mr. Mayor, if I can. Just on the pub corner, does that extend down to include the bus stop? Is that the length of it, the 8 metres long? Yeah, because that's always...
I think it's 8 metres deep. It's longer.
Okay, but the way it's been drawn there, the blue shadow, that would include, I'm thinking that would include the public bus stop, which is heavily utilised.
I think the bus stop's further up.
Is it?
But in saying that, I mean, so did you want to confirm or didn't? The answer to the question, because we're still in questions.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's set back, so it doesn't impact on the, what it does is the bus stop remains in whatever location it is. It's just providing a greater setback should that building redevelop.
Any other questions? Councillor Cutcher?
I just wonder whether or not just in light of the DA for the, what is it, 154 to the plaza site, you know, the significant amount of development that's anticipated there, does this reflect, or has there been any thinking about what the impact would be on the number of pedestrians accessing these spaces? And yeah, just wonder whether or not that's been that's driven this, or has been considered in, yeah, what the impact's likely to be when that all goes up.
Yes, councillor. But we would expect that there'll be more foot traffic connecting the station, the Westfield side, the rest of the High Street, and to the future build place. In addition, another consideration for us as council is the potential redevelopment of our Burley Street site. That would lead to increased foot traffic in that direction. So if you walk there now, the Westpac building is pushed right onto the boundary. We've got the fence on the other side. I think there's a speed camera and one or two smart poles. Again, that probably would not be accommodating a large a pedestrian flow into the future.
Any other questions? Speakers? Who was that moved by? Sorry, Michelle. Oh, Councillor Crichton. Councillor. Speakers? Four? Speakers? I'll speak in favour of the report. I just wanted to add, I think these ideas of creating these public squares and opportunities was even way before the whole plaza redevelopment or Burley Street thinking. But I think, yeah, I think it's going to be needed regardless. I think it came about when there was the idea to restore part of that viewing and create some space for pedestrians in front of the Westpac building. And I think Carla at the time, who was the consultant from GMU who was doing work with council, had even advised that there would be the opportunity to create that view, but still allow some form of cantilevering probably over the height of the clock tower, which would then create some type of cover, weather cover, if you like. In saying that, I just wanted to add, there was also suggestion and discussion about having some form of parking exemption for the Westpac building because of its narrow site and just having that flexibility to allow some form of commercial type office building, which would be tall and skinny with possibly an exemption on parking because it's across the road from the rail line, one. And two, with the pub across the corner, I would have thought, and the reason I asked that question is rather than have the 8 meter setback going pretty much predominantly along the whole build road frontage, you could see where the dividing line between the building is, you know, where that red line is. I would have thought it might sort of go further back into Railway Parade, a bit mirroring what is on the Railway Parade side, you know, with Railway Square in any future development. Like, all I'm saying is we shouldn't allow it just to be like, it might mean we end up getting more, that's all, or a different shape. I think we just got to be that little bit flexible, especially on that side. So that was the only thing I wanted to mention. I think with regards to so that's all. Any other speakers? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimously. Item 55/23, which is recognising our local heritage proposed heritage signage program, which is on page 78, being moved by Councillor. Did you stick your hand up? No. Being moved by Councillor Robinson, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Speakers? Question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question. So is this, so for this one, are we voting for option one of the two proposals? Is it just to clarify that? So it's option ones. So it's the... You quite missed that, Councillor Cushing.
I think just to clarify too, those street signs have come out orange. I think, on the paper. But if you look online on your laptop, they're red. So just to confirm, they're red.
Yeah, okay. I would love to move this. That's
yep. So it's been moved. Any other speakers? Questions? Councillor Cronin? Yeah.
I am passionate about this one. The resolution of the last council to renew our signage suite has seen the retirement of our old street blades. If you recall, they were yellow and black, or depending on where you lived, or red, white and blue. And the upgrade of our new street blades to include our new council logo continues to refresh our LGA, and more importantly, we visually now present as one Burwood. The new signage and street blades rolled out across our LGA is inclusive, accessible, and I think very attractive. But importantly, as what's before us tonight, it's also very functional. It's a very simple and clever design that easily allows for further elements to be added, like what we have here before us tonight, which will be depicting our heritage sites. Fittingly, the new red and white heritage blades will showcase our 12 state heritage listed properties and will soon be followed by our 21 heritage conservation zones. This simple gesture will go some way to educating residents of our valued heritage items. It actually shows that Burwood Council values our heritage and ensures, importantly too, that names from the earlier days in Burwood, such as in the Appian Way, the Hoskins estate, Mr. George Hoskins, that his vision for his, you know, what's known around Australia as a very well-regarded Federation housing model, which includes 36 Federation homes, that his name forever is linked here through this simple street blade to the beautiful Appian Way from 1903. It has been a really big project, and my thanks and care and congratulations go to our staff and consultants for their detailed work and care on delivering what I think is an outstanding yet very simple project. Thank you.
The other speakers, Councillor Kutcher.
Yeah, no, I'm speaking in favour as well, and I just support the comments that Councillor Crichton has made. But in supporting the motion, I just would also like to put on the record that I would have preferred to go with option two. I think we would have a much more elegant outcome had we decided to go with option two. I understand there's a significant cost difference there. Mm-hmm. So I won't be opposing the motion on that basis, but I did just want to say how nice it would have been if option two had been had got the nod.
Yep. Thanks, Councillor. And it might mean in the future you could, as we do, to make it cost effective, like some of your significant significant public buildings. You know, as you're redoing footpath works. So then you're actually minimising the cost. You're not having to dig up. We might then incorporate, because then it's just the cost of the actual plaque. So that might be still an option in future. But I think to at least get the program going, putting in the red. So yeah, no doubt, Councillor Kutcher, I think it's a good point. It also doesn't stop you having both possibly in the future as well by starting with your reds and then eventually, because they become a bit of a tourist-type attraction too. And I know when I'm out, for example, in Haberfield, it's got some of the you know, signage is up. They've got side signage on the street and what it was like, and with some old pictures and things like that, with some, you know, something we may look at later for the Strand. I think it becomes quite interesting. So people become quite interested. And it creates a sense of ownership, belonging, respect. Looking after the area, maintaining it, you know, so those type of things, I think, sort of add to it. Any other speakers? Councillor Hull?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, look, I broadly concur with those remarks. Respect of Councillor Kutcher's remarks, I do think there is a place for bronze plaques, in particular prominent locations, perhaps along Burwood Road, for example, where there's a lot of well-known heritage properties and residents, where, you know, perhaps well-known citizens in the past resided in Burwood, and I don't think we should discount that option altogether. I think, you know, they are, I mean, whilst they are costly, they're also, you know, handsome and they have certain appeal and sort of it's sort of consistent with, you know, a heritage type signage, if I can put it that way. But yes, I mean, this is a good initiative, and I'm, you know, welcome its introduction and its progression.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Robinson, your right of reply. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Next item is 56/23, which is the heritage powers to enforce maintenance of heritage items. Being moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Kutcher. Speakers? Speakers against? Questions now? Put the motion. All those in favour?
I had a question.
Yes,
sorry,
Councillor
Manor.
Put the motion?
Yeah, just to hone in on what sort of powers would be envisaged by the council to, you know, enforce enforce against neglect of homes and properties in Burwood that are perceived to have a heritage value. There's a list of them there, of current, you know, orders, repair orders, public safety orders, etc. Can I just ask, what sort of in the way of compulsion or compelling orders is being contemplated here to be enforced against owners of properties? If I could just have some idea of what we are contemplating here, because there's not much sort of focus on that element of it. And I know it's theoretical at this point, but could we have some comment?
Yep, I'll hand over to the General Manager.
Yeah, and Rita can assist, but I think the overall intent, Councillor, is like really to address situations where we've got demolition by neglect, really those extreme situations. More than maybe the cosmetic stuff that some older properties might have as just a natural aging process, if that helps.
So I think it's in those extreme cases where it's, yeah, the demolition by neglect.
But we're at the point where it's you know, there's a potential for demolishing the entire property. In other words, structural deficiencies and making it unsafe, etc. Right. Okay.
Any other questions? Put the motion. All those in favour? Oh, sorry, speakers.
Sorry. Question. My understanding is that this is essentially an advocacy piece where we're looking to lobby a state government to consider providing these sorts of powers. That we would be asking for as a council, and that might include, you know, following, say, the United Kingdom model, where orders could be issued where the amenity of a property is at risk, whereas under our current laws, it really comes down to whether there's a danger to passing, you know, passers-by, or what have you.
Yep, exactly, Councillor Kutcher. If you've got some of the examples on the UK model. Yeah, do you mind passing those on? Or do you mind flicking them over as part of the letter to the minister? To show examples, to say, well, look, it, you know, has worked.
See what I'm
fine. Okay. I didn't know they had a model in the UK on that. So it's, okay, good. Any other questions? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 57/23, Local Government New South Wales Annual General Conference. Any councillors? I know two have spoken to me. Is there any others that wish to attend? We usually have a general rule of allowing all councillors to attend if they wish to. For the previous one? Oh, sorry. So, yeah, I know that, but I'll, so we can move the motion, we need to add the councillors interested. That's why I'm just asking if, sorry, put it up first. So it's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. Since Sydney, whoever can attend. I know Councillor Crichton and Councillor Manor, you were, I'm Pascal, sorry. It was Councillor Esper and Manor that wanted to have expressed interest in attending and being voting delegates. Is there any others?
I'll attend. Yeah, if I could seek to amend the motion to add myself as a delegate, if there's room for that.
Yep. So you'd have to register. I would like to attend. I'll just check if I can. So don't register me yet. So I'll get approval for me to attend as well, but don't register me yet. And just confirm if you're from work, so that we don't pay the fee. If any other councillors wish to attend, just you can always let us know, because I think we have an open rule where we allow all councillors to attend anyway, if they want.
They could let us know by the 28th, we can take advantage of
by the 28th, the early bird. So it's been moved with that. I believe so, because you need the three voting delegates. I think we've got Councillor, because George is going, so you'd have the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Esper. Did you want to be a voting delegate too, Ned? Yeah? And we'll put Councillor Kutcher as a voting, because he's more likely to go than myself. Okay. And to also include, if any other councillors wish to attend as to the conference, to notify staff by the 28th of August, which gives the approval, but gives us time to notify. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. 58/23 investment report as at the 31st of July 2023. Moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Kutcher. Speakers, put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Reports of committees, RC 14/23, Build Local Traffic Committee. Moved by Councillor Kutcher, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. And item RC 15/23, which is the Build 150 Year Anniversary Steering Committee, being moved by Councillor Kutcher, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speaker's question, Councillor.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I read with interest the deliberations of the committee for the 150 years anniversary of Burwood. And I see there are a number of events that are being planned there, some of which I think are set out there on under the 150 years events plan, and which are many of which are of, you know, interest to the community. I just wanted to ask, though, whether the committee has given consideration or intends to give consideration to an event which commemorates well-known citizens in Burwood. I mean, there are a lot of prominent, well-known citizens in the history of Burwood, which this commemoration would provide a very unique and propitious opportunity, I think, to acknowledge. I mean, from the, you know, from the pioneers of Burwood, you know, that you know, were founded Burwood, to a lot of you know, prominent citizens. You know, there was Thomas Riley, Thomas Rowley, Alexander Riley, all of those pioneering figures. To you know, there were well-known politicians. You know, Sir Bertrand Stevens comes to mind. mind, a citizen in Croydon who became Premier of New South Wales. It was Earl Page who lived in Burwood, who was a former Prime Minister. There were other contributors, you know, to medicine, such as Sir Norman McAlister Gregg. There were lots and lots of prominent people.
So I think, yeah, because I'll just stick to questions, then I'll get you to...
Sorry, I'm just... Yeah, I'm just going to ask the question.
I might hand over to the GM to Brooke question, and then I'll get you back to speak on the item if you like.
Yep. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor, we are doing a range of projects and initiatives. So the one I'd probably like to highlight to you is the Burwood Pictorial History. That includes a thorough analysis of various personalities, people, citizens who throughout Burwood's history from 1874 through to the current day have made a difference or done many different things in Burwood. So that is a publication that will be here, not just for that launch date on the 27th of March next year, but it will be there for the history. It's sort of a more comprehensive version of Harvest of the Years, if you're familiar with that book, that covers that broader range and the full 150 years. So that definitely, that publication, there's many other publications. Council's engaged Kingsclear Publishing, and I'd be more than happy to share examples of their previous work to show you the types of narratives and the stories that their books provide. There are other events and activities. For example, I'll give one example where we have a project where we're utilising local benches to have stories and images of different people who sat on those seats before. So some of those names that you just mentioned will be featured on those benches placed throughout our public spaces throughout the year. So there's many examples where we've looked at who are those well-known citizens from ACDC through to earlier people that have influenced and shaped Burwood. So that's definitely a consideration incorporated into many of these initiatives, but the Burwood Pictorial History is a very clear project for that.
Okay. Speakers, Councillor Hull, you wish to add?
Well, yeah, I mean, I certainly, you know, have an interest in this. Certainly, I mean, my family's certainly been here since about 1925 or so. So we've certainly, my family has known a few of these people, I might say, but I'm certainly, you know, greatly endorse the deliberations of the committee and the kinds of events being planned. Certainly encourage pictorial type tributes and commemorations. I think that's a good direct way of commemorating prominent people. Certainly, you know, book launches are good, but I don't know. I mean, there are other kinds of events that could be planned, like exhibitions and things of that nature, which could also be considered. But yes, I'm certainly looking forward to participating in the commemorations when they actually happen in 2024. So yes, I endorse this motion.
The other speakers? Oh, sorry, Councillor Cutchin.
Yeah, just to say, you know, it's really great to see this coming along. Congratulations to the committee on all the work that you've been doing on this. It's a great initiative, a great bunch of initiatives, I should say. And yeah, really impressive to see it coming together. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Cutchin. And I think Councillor Crichton's got a 150-year badge already. I don't know how you got one. I don't know how you got one. I don't have one. All right, we'll put the motion. Yeah, that's good. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. And that being, I believe, Michelle, the last item on the agenda, that means our meeting is closed at 6:36 p.m.